Already on the phone right now is author Mike Chen. His new book, We Could Be Heroes, his third book, is out on January 26th from Mira HarperCollins. We talked to Mike for the first two books, got him on for the third book, and it's bright and early in California. It's 6 a.m. there, Mike, and I don't think I've ever interviewed anybody this early before for an interview.
Oh, I do this all the time because my daughter is, gets up around 7, and it's like just sheer chaos when she gets up. So it's better to get all media done before she gets up.
So how many cups of coffee have you had already?
I have not had any. I brush my teeth, though.
Oh, wow.
When we're done with this, I'm going to make coffee and walk my dog. But for now, I'm just chilling.
Well, I've already walked my dog twice. I took a shower, I shaved, I brushed my teeth, and I did the other S thing. So we're good to go.
Awesome.
Too much information, right?
That's cool.
So We Could Be Heroes comes out on the 26th. It's another... You have the most vivid imagination for books. Your first book was about time travel. Your second book was actually very timely. It was about the after effects of a pandemic last year. And this one is about a couple of superheroes.
Yeah, I'm obviously a big science fiction fan. And so my goal, I remember after my first book came out, someone asked, like, are you going to write another time travel book? I'm like, I kind of hope not.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to just be pigeonholed as, like, the time travel guy. So I made, like, this internal promise to myself that I would basically just try to hit all of the science fiction subgenres. And then, if I write enough books to run out, then I will start repeating them. But yeah, that's like, I'm hitting all the different elements that I love. I've always read comic books. I love superheroes. So it was very fun to write this.
And you're also, we've talked about this the last two times, you're a big Doctor Who fan like myself. So let's get out of the way with now. We're getting a new Doctor at the end of the season. What do you think?
Has that been confirmed?
I think so.
I saw the rumor, but they said that about Peter Capaldi's, like, after his first season, after his second season, and it was finally true after his third season. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised because, like, usually doctors run, for three seasons and some specials. So, I think a lot of people will look back on Jodie's time. It's kind of like with Peter's time where right now everyone is looking back and being like, wow, he was a really good doctor. But during his first season, I mean, myself included, like, his first season was very hit and miss, and he really got into a groove in his second season. And I felt the same way about Jodie, where she was fine as the Doctor her first season, but the writing was very hit and miss in her first season. I thought it got way better, like, pace and tension and story in her second season. So I look forward to her third season. I have no idea who the dude is. The new guy, the British comedian that they teased at the end of the New Year's Day special, I know absolutely nothing about him. So, but I from what I understand, he's a comedian, and comedians have actually done really well. Like, Catherine Tate was amazing. I'm totally blanking on his name, but the dude who played Nardal for the Peter Capaldi era was, he was really, really great. So I'm like, I'm going into that with no expectations. I will miss Jodie as a doctor, just the same way I miss Peter as a doctor, the same way I miss Matt as a doctor. But as always with Doctor Who, I look forward to new things.
So
I will say, I am playing I just got VR for Christmas. And I'm playing the Doctor Who adventure on there where it's like, you see Jodie's hologram directing you through VR and you go into her TARDIS, and it's amazing. It's like all VR games, they're not actually very good, but they're really wonderful experiences to just walk into the TARDIS and look around and have her talking to you.
Do you do the audio stuff? Because I remember reading a little while ago that David Tennant recorded a 9-episode thing, and it was about the Daleks, but it was way before he took over the role. I think it was even before Eccleston took over. It's like a 9-part audio book that you can get.
I've listened to a few of the audio dramas. The company that puts them out is Big Finish.
Yeah.
And the joke is always like, you know, you're never done with Doctor Who because then you'll go back and do the Big Finish stuff. Like Eccleston actually just recorded some audio dramas like as the Doctor.
Yeah.
I don't know if David Tennant has done them yet. Like I listened to a bunch of the Paul McGann Eighth Doctor ones, and he's really, really good in them. I don't believe Peter or Matt have done them yet, but like they're really great adventures. They're really well produced, and I like to see that Star Wars has taken that on. Like they've got the Count Dooku one, they've got the amazing Dr. Aphra one, with actually my audiobook narrator Emily Wu Zeller plays Dr. Aphra in those, and they're just I really like the medium. Because it's just like we all listen to podcasts now, obviously, and so to actually have professionally produced dramas with sound effects and actors and music and everything is really, really cool. And I love that my favorite franchises are really exploring that space.
We Could Be Heroes Again is out January 26th. Is this title a nod to David Bowie?
Oh yeah, yeah. Actually, the book was originally called Anonymous. Because that's really one of the themes of the book. But then my agent said something about, because I love David Bowie. Like my wife and I are just huge Bowie nerds, and we saw him on tour, I think, 4 times before he stopped touring. And my agent, when we were about to sign off on the deal, he said something about that. And then I laughed and I said, like, it's too bad we can't use that title as, you know, the title or like that song lyric. And he goes, why not? And I go like, well, I thought, you know, wouldn't the Bowie estate just sue the crap out of us? And he goes, no, you can title things anything you want. You just can't quote the lyrics without getting their permission. So like basically right before the contract, was signed, we changed it to that. And so it was definitely like, there's even a version of the cover. The art team knows that I'm a big Bowie nerd, and they did a version with like the cityscape is actually in a lightning bolt, like the Aladdin Sane lightning bolt, and they agreed not to do it because they're like, well, the book has nothing to do with Bowie, and we don't want to give, you know, the wrong impression, which I totally agree with, but I'm going to print that cover out someday and put it on my wall because it's very, very cool.
Well, the story is about Jamie and Zoe. Jamie woke up early one morning with no memory and only a few clues to his identity, but he has the ability to read and erase other people's memories, a power he uses to hold up banks to buy coffee, cat food, and books. He's just doing it for the money. He's not in it to hurt anybody. Zoe's also searching for her past, using her abilities of speed and strength, of all things, to deliver fast food. And occasionally she'll put on a cool suit and beat up bad guys if she feels like it. And Jamie's robbing a bank one day. He uses his powers a little too heavy. Zoe shows up, but he manages to get away from her. And then, of all things, they meet in a memory loss support group, not knowing who the other one is at first, which is funny in itself that they're going to. I mean, not that it's funny that you have a memory loss support group, but that two superheroes go to a memory loss support group. I just thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, so this was originally based on a short story that I wrote called Anonymous, and you can kind of see like the themes there in the just the short description that you gave. The original short story is very similar to, I think, chapters 5 and 6 of this book. It's still Jamie and Zoe. Their powers are the same, but it was a Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. Oh, okay. And it was the idea that two people who could theoretically have nothing in common with each other could go into like this, you know, shared space of anonymity and find some common ground. It was like, you know, it was just a fun little short story about the idea of nature versus nurture. And then when it came time to come up with a follow-up to A Beginning at the End, I talked with my agent. I said, like, I still have the rights to this short story. I think it would be a lot of fun to expand it into a book, and he agreed with that idea, so we ran with it.
Yeah, so Zoe and Jamie end up figuring out who the other one is. They team up together, a little bit begrudgingly, but they want to figure out who they are, their past, and they start doing research and figuring it out. But there's people out there that have been watching these two, and it turns out to be a whole lot more than they bargained for. And could be the end of them by the end of the book.
Yeah, it's, when I was writing this, so I knew that I wanted to go with a superhero and a supervillain become friends. And so if you're doing that, then you take the supervillain, like you take the antagonist out of the equation. So there has to be a third party in there. So it all kind of came together pretty naturally, like the idea that the way that they got their powers and lost their memories in the first place is actually like the big bad of the story. So it's playing off of a lot of expected comic book and superhero tropes, but trying to turn things on their side a little bit. Because this is a book and it's not a comic book, it's not a TV show, you know, there's a lot more time to dive into their character and ground them in reality. And you know, and even like the antagonists that you eventually meet, like to find out what their motivations are and make them a little bit more human than you usually see.
Yeah, and you definitely do that, and it reaches a really interesting crescendo. And you know, I don't want no spoilers, obviously, but it's quite the adventure they have to go on to figure out who they were and what happened to them.
Yeah, and that was the fun part. Was like I actually wound up cutting a lot of their banter with each other, because that was, after a while, I found, like, I got to know the characters so well, and they had such a good chemistry with each other, which is kind of weird to say about, like, two made-up characters talking in your head, but they did. Like, I could naturally just hear their dialogue, you know, back and forth, and so as I was writing it, I realized that, like, half the chapter was completely useless, but even though it was really funny. So they go on these, you know, adventures to try to find out who they are, and the whole time they're just kind of bantering with each other, but I had to really trim it down to try to keep it lean and make it focus on the story.
People can follow you online at Twitter at Mike Chen Writer, at MikeChenBooks.com. You got a couple of virtual events coming up that people can sign up for on your website as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're launching this book. It comes out July.
Yeah.
What is time these days? It comes out January 26th, and on that night, I will be doing a virtual event with Fonda Lee, who writes the amazing Greenbone Saga, which is the first book is Jade City, and the second book is Jade War. And that is going to be through Books, Inc., which is my local bookstore chain. And then 2 days later, on January 28th, my fellow Star Wars author from a Certain Point of View, The Empire Strikes Back anthology, Delilah S. Dawson, who has written several Star Wars books. She's written X-Files comic books. She's got a bunch of her own stuff. We'll be talking through the Astoria Bookshop in New York City.
Sweet. And then before I let you go here, you're obviously, you know, like you said earlier, you're a big sci-fi guy. Any new shows, new movies you've been watching or looking forward to upcoming in the next few months?
So Star Trek Discovery just finished up, and I saw their season 3. I feel like that may have been like the most consistent quality of Star Trek in a single season. Of any of the Star Trek shows, because they're usually, you know, up and down a bit. So I really, really enjoyed that. I loved how they took the Federation into the future and getting to explore a new time period. You know, coming up, it's like I'm trying to think of what was actually made into production and everything. Because, like, Legends of Tomorrow is, like, my favorite show on TV right now. And I think they're just filming right now, and they don't come back till January because, you know, COVID just, you know, messed up everyone's schedules. What we are doing, my wife is a big Trekkie, just like I am. And earlier this year, I had never seen Voyager, so she showed me Voyager, and now I am showing her Deep Space Nine.
Okay,
because I really love. So what we are doing is we're taking an episode guide of Deep Space Nine that focuses just on the serialized story. So it breaks down each season into like 10 to 12 episodes. So I'm showing her Deep Space Nine that way. And so I think we're on season 5 now. So it's really cool seeing how the writing and the storytelling of that show is actually, it feels very, very modern and completely holds up.
And have you started writing your next book yet?
Yeah, the fourth book is turned in. I'm waiting for my editor to give it final approval and like the last you know, spit shine of polish. And that is called Second Contact. It comes out a year from now. And it's about a family where 15 years ago, One of the three siblings was abducted by aliens, or so they think, and it kind of splinters the family. And then you go back to the present, where the abducted brother comes back, only to find his family is completely different from what he remembered. And he claims to have been fighting an intergalactic war for the past 15 years. And so it's about how a traumatic event can really splinter a family and drive the different people in it to different paths. And then when they have the opportunity to reconcile, how do they do that? It's very inspired by the X-Files and the two Haunting series on Netflix, The Haunting of Hill House and The Haunting of Bly Manor. It's about intergenerational trauma and how families try to find a common ground after something really terrible happens.
Well, We Could Be Heroes Again is out Tuesday, the 26th of January. Mike, always a pleasure to talk to you. Good luck with everything. Stay safe in California, and hopefully we'll talk again next year for your new book.
Yeah. Every year for another 3 years, I'm signed on contract. So,
oh, sweet.
We'll see.
All righty.
Thank you very much.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye.